Welcome to the universe we call home, as well as others. Here, we collide the universes of fact and fiction. Are you ready to take it to the max? Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the max. Max here, Zach.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm doing really good. How are you, Max?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's good to hear.
So, Zach, pretty fun episode today.
Yeah, definitely. Very interesting topic. It is, well, I mean, lots of people have theorized about this topic. It is definitely something that might sit in the back of people's minds. It's also one of the three superpowers I would choose if I had the choice.
Yeah, okay. If you're going to mention that, I'm gonna challenge you, and we're going to... What are your three superpowers?
Just before we go, I'd definitely choose invisibility.
Stupid. That is the stupidest superpower.
Hey!
No!
Let me get
I'm
going
to smack you down. You can't talk to me that way.
Let me say my other
you
two.
You let me counter this. Okay, fine. You go...
I have three. I have two more to
then
say.
Then I'm going to counter them all.
That's great.
All of them, including time in this episode. I'm going to counter it.
That's great. Wait, doesn't... These don't have to be, doesn't have to make sense.
But I'm going to counter them anyways.
That's great. It just has to happen. Invisibility for sure, time travel, and being able to fly. I think everyone can agree we all want to fly.
Okay, yes, I can agree with that. That is one of mine. But invisibility. In order to be invisible, that means no light is reflected off you, and no light is absorbed either. It's all reflected in different directions, basically.
It passes
through you. But if it passes through you, you won't be able to see. Because the light will pass through your eyes, won't be absorbed by your eyes. Because being absorbed by yours, then your eyes, you would have black pupils, and you'd have these two black dots floating in space. But...
No, here's the thing.
No.
I just wear sunglasses while I'm invisible.
Then you're not...
That's just how it is. I just wear some sunglasses.
Okay, mine are infinite stamina, or at least a highly efficient body, like very close to perfect efficiency. Obviously not violating any laws of thermodynamics, but I want a highly efficient body.
You want to be athletic.
No, I want to be superhumanly athletic. The fact that, you know, your brain will never get tired, you barely need sleep. I want to be able to run for miles at full tilt. I want to be able to lift my maximum for extreme periods of time.
All right, fair enough, yeah. He wants to be a superhuman being.
I want to be the next Arnold.
Yeah, next Schwarzenegger. Fair enough. And then what would if
flying,
you would be
obviously.
Flying?
Like, come on.
Come on, guys.
That was one that I have no beef with.
Flying is the best. How can
I
you not?
I think, honestly, the closest we're in it to flying is some kind of paragliding. Because
when you look at
all animals that can fly, they have very light bones.
Of course. Well, they weigh... It's minimal compared to us. And they also have... They've developed, over time, wings.
Basically, I have seen some stuff, though, with people. They have, like, huge air repulsion kind of things on their feet and hands, and it allows them to hover and stuff.
Those are also very expensive.
Yeah, they're very expensive. But, I mean, that it's flying at some point. I think the closest I'm going to get is, you know, it's one of those wing suits. I might one day do that. Or just
one of those Red Bull wing suits?
Yeah. I saw this guy who built, basically, a jet, like, a glider, but with jets on the back. So it's sort of close to flying. You might be able to get... A sort of an incline at some point.
Yeah, a little bit of a drift.
But anyways.
The third one.
My final superpower. Now this is a difficult one.
Do you have a couple options you want to pick from?
One is all knowledge. Like just everything.
So he just wants to be smart.
Yeah, exactly. Smart, athletic, and the ability to fly. That is an all-star life.
It's hard to top.
I once had a debate that lasted, I don't know, maybe an hour or two, about... Whether you should know everything, if that's...
That might be too much knowledge, too much
never.
Power.
No, okay. What I'm trying to say is... Okay, if you want to have a quick debate about this...
All right, let's just go on for a second.
Before we get into the taste of coffee. But what I'm trying to say is, I think it is far more valuable to know everything. Because I think it outweighs the loss. Like, obviously, you might end up being very depressed... But if you're that smart, you should realize that there's a lot you can do with this, and killing yourself would not make sense. You would realize that using this would make far more sense than killing yourself. You would realize the rationale about why you're so important. You would realize that, you know, so I think you would also realize that there's just some things that are, you know, very bad, and you can't do anything about it, and, you know, you have to live with some things at a certain time. Obviously, you'll fix them at one point, perhaps, but... You know, you can't fix the world in one day. Well,
now, let's just say, if you do know anything, everything...
You know how to fix these problems.
And you know everything that's coming in the future.
Yeah.
Are you able to try and
prevent them? Is that kind of time travel, though? Because you know everything that's ever happened. Everything is happening.
Everything that's ever happened and will happen in the future.
Jeez. I think what I'm thinking is maybe imagine yourself like Google in a way. So basically you have archives of everything that's ever happened. And as soon as something
so
new...
So not in the future.
Yeah, so nothing in the future. Just okay. As soon as something is newly discovered, as if anyone knows it, it is known by you, basically.
Okay, yeah, okay. I was gonna...
Because I don't think the future...
I can agree on that.
The future breaks time limits.
Yeah, because my problem was if you know everything that's happening in the future, you would, like you said, become very depressed because... You just know.
You know
all
that
these
you're gonna
things.
Die. You know everyone's gonna die.
Yeah.
And you know that also.
And worst
nothing,
of all, if
you can't
my
actually,
favorite sports team was going to lose, I couldn't do anything about it. I'd just have to sit and watch, knowing
no,
they're
Zach,
going to lose.
Since you have super stamina, I mean, sorry, you didn't pick that, but I would just go on the bench and play for them.
Fair enough. He got me there.
I think, as far as knowing everything, I think you have to realize that there's so many good things that can come out of this. Like, you'll be able to fix so many problems. You'll be able to create hyper-efficient electricity. You'll be able to know, you know...
We get it. A lot of good comes from knowing everything in the world.
I know that my wife's cheating on me. I couldn't care less. I already knew that. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, that's true. Fair enough, he got me there.
And I know there's kids starving, and, you know, it's happening. If you know everything, you know a way to how to fix that.
Exactly.
That is the trade-off, and it is worth it. Absolutely.
All right, fair enough. And now you, dear viewer, email us at tothemax09podcast.
Podcast09.
Podcast09. And tell us your three superpowers.
Please,
that you would
we're
choose.
Desperate.
We're desperate for emails.
We need it.
We need it. But getting into the main topic of today's video.
Which I'm very excited for. Today is a very fun sci-fi topic. It is time travel. And it is a bloody fantastic... as far as topics go.
There's a lot to say, and I mean, it doesn't really relate at all to a couple movies, Back to the Future. They don't really, at least the science in these don't really relate as well.
But obviously it wasn't as well understood, but it doesn't make great sci-fi for perfect science, because then you're just going to end up with problems.
Yeah, and again, it was like, what, 40 years ago they made that movie?
I can't even remember. Well, Zach... If time travel is real, it was always created, and it always will be.
Yeah, maybe they went back in time to create it for me. Who knows? It's just a
game
just...
lens. So
getting into the our little first little pointer we have to say about.
So
time
I think
travel.
We should just explain what is time as far as relativity and how like time's been, you know, discovered over ages, and really what is time? I mean, that's the question.
The big question that we want to answer off the bat is what is time?
That's what I said, is it not?
Yeah. Made it more clear. All right, Max, why don't you explain to the dear viewers what time is?
So let's just say before pre-relativity, time.
Pre-Einstein.
Time was considered a constant, a cosmological constant. The fact
Tuesday
is...
Tuesday every came around, every 7 days there was a Tuesday.
And every hour is the same for every single person. Every time is the same. That was the thing.
They considered it everyone had the same time.
Yeah.
Did they have time zones back then?
Yeah. No, but they meant, like, that's not the time that they're talking about. They're talking about, like... An hour is the same no matter where you are.
The hour is always a constant. There's no place where an hour is more or less than 60 minutes.
Yes. Even if you were in the middle of space, it'd be the same. If you were...
In the black hole, 60 minutes is 60 minutes, no matter what.
And obviously relativity was a complete
shocker
opposition
to
that. Yeah.
It completely changed the way people
relativity,
view.
If you just look at the name, relative, that means time is relative. For example, it works with almost everything. Zach, you're traveling. There's no points of view in the distance. So you can't tell if anything's moving if you're moving. Let's say I am moving at, you know,
a constant speed.
I was gonna say speed. Like, yeah, let's say I'm moving at 10,000 miles per hour. You are standing still, but we have no way of telling
if you are standing still or the things. If you in your rocket ship going 10,000 miles per hour
past your still rocket ship, basically none of us are going to know which one of us is the one that's actually moving. And the same thing with time. No one's going to know who has the actual real time. one of our times will be different, but, you know, we both have our own time. We both have our own perception of relativity.
Exactly. And
was that not a brilliant way of explaining it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. You can just look at it this way, too. Most of the world uses the metric system. The Americans, they use their old yards system, where they measure things in yards.
Oh, man, what uncivilized.
See, time and measurements, I mean, you could look at them the same way. They all kind of meet in the middle somehow. Kind of, but not really. But if you think about it, it's kind of similar in a fact. They have a different way of measuring things, measuring distance. We have a different way of measuring time as some other being.
Exactly. And now, the way time works is, the faster you are going, the slower time is for you. And when you're in the presence of a large gravitational object,
such as a black hole or a star,
or even our planet,
time
moves slower, I think.
Yeah.
I believe it's slower. And the faster you travel, like if the Earth stopped spinning, we would actually perceive time to be the same, but time would really be a lot slower to a person who was watching us from a different planet that was spinning at the exact same speed as the Earth. But what I'm trying to say is, the faster you're moving, the less time is affecting you. The slower time is perceived.
So if you spin really fast, time goes quicker.
Well, in fact...
Or not even spin, if you're on an object that's spinning.
In fact, if you even travel with...
The object.
If you travel with the Earth, travel east on a train...
Oh yeah, that's why it's easier.
You will have less... And the same thing with gravity. Gravity, you will experience less gravity if you move with the Earth's spin, actually, because you'll be moving slightly faster.
Oh, would you look at that? Wow.
And this is the thing. I was talking about this last episode. If you haven't watched that, please go check it out. But basically, I was saying, you know, when you're traveling at the speed of light, not only are you going at the fastest speed possible, but time is inconsequential to you. So a second for you will be possibly a millennia. But you will also travel in that millennia for everyone else. You've traveled millions of light years. But for you, it's felt like a second.
Yeah, it only took a second for you. But for everybody else watching on Earth, watching you travel, well, they've all died.
So even if you pulled out of light speed, like imagine you could actually stop without killing yourself. Even if you pulled out after the shortest amount of time at the speed of light, it'll be already too late.
It'd be gone. There'd be like five generations of people who have been born and died while you were traveling at the speed of light for 1 second.
Now, if you have If you have a civilization that spans many areas, so the speed of light is still not enough for you. Because
should we say this civilization has made it to a different solar system? Or even galaxy?
Same galaxy, but you could be on completely different ends.
Alright, same galaxy, anywhere in the galaxy. We'll go with that.
Because not only is it like, what, 26,000 light years to the center from us?
From us, yeah. Which is, 26,000 light years is 26,000 years traveling at the speed of light.
But, you know, for you traveling at speed of light, it'd be really fast. But I think the problem with traveling at speed of light for a large civilization, sure, it doesn't matter for you, but for everyone else,
yeah,
it does matter.
Because you wouldn't be here for them.
Exactly.
They'd miss you.
And there would be no point in you leaving because you're not going to arrive in time for your... You're never going to arrive in time. You're still going to be traveling at the speed of light, and everyone's going to be gone by the time you're there.
Yeah. And, I mean, unless that you've passed on a message that's supposed to have been carried on for centuries and centuries, and this is like a big event happening in the next couple millenniums.
Yeah, you don't want to say decades, because...
Yeah, definitely not decades. Then, I mean, no one's really going to remember you unless you've definitely passed on a clear message that you're coming back.
Exactly.
And basically I think what this says is that time, although is the same, is different in different areas, traveling at different speeds.
And also, it'd be just hard to even have your own times, because especially if you had a big civilization. There's so many problems with having a big civilization besides communication.
And time.
And time.
But definitely for time.
Time, like, you. First of all, each of you has your own relative time. Depends on how fast you're moving, how big the object of gravity is acting upon you.
But I do think a solution to this is, the way we figured out the solution to time on Earth is that we are on one constant thing, right? We are all on the Earth. The Earth follows the same time everywhere. But the second you leave Earth...
No, you have...
Or not the same time.
You have slower time.
But you know what I'm trying to say. I know, but you know what I'm trying to say. But the second you leave Earth, time is slower, is it not?
I believe. Well,
when you leave Earth into the atmosphere, it becomes slower. And I assume if you could do this with a galactic civilization, you could create a new system of time with the rotation of your galaxy. Yes, that would be completely... You would survive for about 0.00001% of a spin. But, I mean, it would be a constant, would it not?
One sec. You keep talking.
Well, I mean, it just comes down to, are the planets inside of your galaxy creating different times?
I think the thing is, it's just best to have your own times if you have a large galaxy, because it just is too much effort to maintain the...
Especially if you're... We get maybe one or two planets they can sort of coordinate. I mean, they do it pretty well with Mars.
Oh, sorry.
With the Mars rovers.
Yeah, so yeah, time does occur slower the closer you are to Earth's surface.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to make sure that I was saying that right, because I don't want to offend anyone who actually is smart.
Yeah. We definitely... No, we do not have a degree.
Well, you know, one
day. Hope to make it there one day.
I mean, actually, if time is always existing, then I do have a degree at some point, hopefully, unless I...
Yeah.
You know, let's just not even think about what could happen.
Yeah.
We'll think about that later.
Yeah.
So anyways, I hope we gave you a good understanding of...
Of time.
Time, because...
It's very difficult... up front, it is definitely like... Oh, well, it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday at 6:30, yeah. That's what time it is. But when you really dig a bit deeper into what actual time it is, then it gets a lot more complicated. And it's just really cool to see. And yeah. And I think we'll move on to our next topic.
Which is, you know, just... I think we should touch a little bit about... I don't know if you're okay with this, but just why space and time are completely linked.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about space and time and how they may or may not make up a fourth dimension, and just how they come together.
Well, it's clear that they are... not clear, but I think it's very likely that time is the fourth
dimension.
Dimension. I can speak today.
Yeah.
Because just think about it. You've never been in a time without a place.
Right.
Have you ever been in a place without time? Have you ever existed in one moment without
where there
time?
Was no time?
You can exist here on Earth, but when? No, you have to exist in a time. This is why it's a dimension. And imagine a higher dimension creature is not one that lives in a higher physical dimension, but one that can live...
In a mental dimension.
No.
No.
In a different time dimension. They can access more...
They can see everything that's ever happened
and be
everywhere that's ever existed.
They can exist both forward and back in time because they live in higher dimensions. And as I said, I think dimensions are linked.
So they can see everything there is to see, everything that ever existed, and they can be everywhere that ever has been.
Yeah.
They can see everything there is to see and be everywhere there is to be.
Not only can they exist anywhere in time, but they can exist anywhere in space as well. Not only can they be anywhere in space, they can exist anywhere in time. That's what I meant to say.
That'd be pretty cool. Tuesday or Wednesday morning, the teacher calls for a field trip. Yeah, we're just going. We're going back a couple billion years, seeing the moon form.
Oh, I already been there, teacher.
Yeah,
sorry.
I did that last year. But yeah. What was last year?
Exactly. But then you get to a lot of problems with your mental state at that point.
Yeah.
But I guess if you evolve into that, you must be. Fine.
Yeah, if you've just like us, we've evolved, we've learned to adapt to our three-dimensional world.
You know, when I used to feel a phantom pain, I used to think it was my future self telling me I was gonna get hurt there.
Oh, it was your fourth dimension. It was my fourth dimensional friend.
Yeah.
Giving me a tug, and I can't see him.
You can't see him, but he's there. He knows.
Yeah, he's there. He knows.
So,
yeah.
Basically,
space and time are linked.
Space and time are linked, and it's. So anyways, so let's talk about actual time travel now.
Yeah,
so time travel has been a theory for quite a while, I think.
It's been something that people have fantasized over. Of course, many movies have been made, books have been made.
And you know, it's strange because a lot of other sci-fi things like going to the moon and lasers, those exist now.
Yeah, those were always fantasized of. And look at us now. We've been to the moon. We've been there a couple times, actually. We have lasers. I mean,
we have missiles, we have rockets, we have...
All of these things that...
We have floating trains.
It's true, yeah. Once all these things that have seemed impossible 50 years ago, or even 60 years ago, have now become a reality. And maybe farther, far, far, far in the future, time travel would become one of these realities that we've fantasized of. But We have a lot of problems with that, and you'll definitely hear what we have to say about that. But before we get there, we should talk about the first plausible thing of time travel.
So wormholes are the most likely way that we could, in a sense, time travel.
Yeah.
They would allow us to appear in different locations.
Faster than the speed of light. Assuming they're far, far apart.
Which is, in essence, time traveling.
Because you've beat light to the place you're trying to go, and light, of course, is the fastest
thing. So basically, I could wave to you on Earth, then teleport to Mars and see myself wave to me. I could look at the past. I could be able to watch my own past.
Which would just... because of light. Because light takes longer to get there.
But then again, we will talk about later, you know, pop culture and that form of...
and how that stuff really doesn't make sense, but...
But what it would be like, and, you know, whatever.
But we're not there yet.
So the first one is Einstein-Rosen bridges, I believe.
And these Einstein-Rosen bridges...
please explain these to me.
So basically, they were the first real plausible way people thought that a wormhole could exist. So basically, Einstein, he proposed that a black hole... of course, we all know black holes. They take energy in. They suck energy in, right? Everyone knows that, right? We can all agree. So what Einstein proposed here was that as the stuff is going into the black hole, at some point, it would come back out, and it would come back out...
in another dimension, another universe?
In another alternate universe out of a white hole, because in this alternate universe... everything is opposite of our universe, and time in that universe runs backwards. Because, of course, it's opposite of us.
I'm so confused. If you entered that universe, wouldn't you just exit right away because time would be undone?
I think if you think about it, you would stop aging and you would actually de-age. And you would go turn back into a baby. But what happens after you're a baby? Like, how would you go back into the womb?
My head hurts.
That's just a lot to think about right there. But basically, how these were, they were basically proven to be impossible to exist, because even if this other universe did exist, you wouldn't be able to get there, because it would take an infinite amount of time to go through the black hole and pop out on the white hole. So you would be dead before you even make it.
And also, it's a one-way trip, because even if you make it to the other side, despite the extreme gravity, if it's an anti-black hole that throws everything out,
there's nothing to pull you back in, to send you back. And even if you could get back in, the black hole is not going to shoot you out.
And another thing is Stephen Hawking proved that black holes do radiate stuff. And they radiate...
good old Hawking radiation.
Yeah, exactly. Their information is stored. So when I go into the black hole, my information is stored. I never disappear in my information saying, obviously, like my atoms and all that.
Materials.
Those will all be taken out. They will all be thrown from the black hole at one point.
Yeah, emitted in Hawking radiation, whether that's... instantly, or when the black hole dies.
Yeah, so basically, what I'm trying to say is these don't work.
Yeah, they don't exist, but they were the first real thought that people had of being able to use a wormhole. And then, after these Einstein-Rosen bridges, we got another new revolutionary type of wormhole. And it's called string theory.
Well, old string theory.
Old string theory.
And... old string theory, I don't understand it fully.
It's a very complicated topic. There's a lot to go into it. And if you want,
there's probably a ton of great videos out there that can explain it.
Yes.
Far better than I ever could.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to bring Zach. I mean, you know, they can do far better.
Yeah, well, far better than us. But basically, string theory, I believe...
So what I understand from it is when you look at it, Adam, we can't actually see them. They're so small. But, you know, you see a little bit of it, whatever. Imagine you see a little circle. You see a little circle. And if you're just looking at the cross-section, it could be anything. It could be a very long string.
And because it's just so small, we really only see just the little tip, the part of it.
You know, these could be vibrating in higher energies, and this helps build up the universe, I guess.
Yeah.
And now, in the early universe, there would have been these strings that connected many different areas.
When you say early universe, we're talking about
like the first
billionth of a trillionth of a second. Yeah. These
the quantum fluctuations.
Yeah, of the universe
would have created these linked
little holes that are just unbelievably small, and they got filled by these strings. And now, well, that was, of course, in the first trillionth of a second.
But as it kept expanding, these became light years apart, and eventually these would be these strings linking millions of miles, I'm sorry.
Light years.
Millions of light years.
Yeah, and of course, they expanded instantly, they're humongous now, if they are proven to be true. And string theory just presents a possibility that we could travel insane amount of distances away from our home planet if we were just to find one of these strings. And
essentially time traveling.
Yeah, essentially time traveling, beating the speed of light to a place.
However, we have no idea how we would ever find these if it exists, and string theory is...
There's also more to string theory.
There's a lot more to string theory.
Especially with dimensions and everything.
I'm pretty sure it's not fully accepted by the whole scientific community.
Yeah, it hasn't really been confirmed.
So we're not going to take it gospel.
It still goes by the name theory.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing about theory in science. And I was talking to you a little bit about this before we were recording. But I think the word theory is very incorrectly used in our common English.
I mean, we have the theory of general relativity.
Which is not a theory because it is completely proven, but it is a theory.
They still go by theory.
Theory. So the thing was, when we had Newton's law of gravity...
It was a law.
People realized it was only part of a whole.
Yeah. In Newton's time, they came to the conclusion that this was everything, and therefore gave it the term law. But now,
there's a lot of laws that have existed before, and when we put them together, we realize they only make up part of it. And I think...
So we don't want to, close off a window and basically exclude everything else that's yet to be discovered. So we say theory.
Because then they can just bind them together.
Yeah.
It means it's not the whole thing, but it is proven scientifically to be true.
And there may be more to add on to it.
Yes. And now, I think the word that we use, when we say I have a theory about who committed the crime, it should be I have a hypothesis.
I claim something. I have some evidence to present.
But, you know, a theory is only a theory when it's been peer-reviewed, checked over, and fully appreciated by, a lot of people.
Yeah, it's been... Well, I mean, you've had a lot of people look it over and check your work.
And they've done the exact same experiment or found the exact same clues and came to the same... assumption or whatever.
The same answer.
Exactly. And...
Well, that's what happened with general relativity, string theory. Well, not fully for string theory, but general relativity, definitely. Yes.
That's the thing. So don't say I have a theory, or don't think that a theory is, it's not correct because it's just a theory. For most things, a theory means it is completely true. It's just not, we don't call things laws anymore because...
We don't call them 100% correct because we know there's more to discover.
So do you want to take a quick break or get on to the last version of...
All right, I think we can cover the last one just before we head off to our break.
So the last version of wormholes, which can hopefully lead us towards time travel at some point.
They would be man-made wormholes.
Because this is the most likely. If we're gonna find one, it's probably gonna be one that we made.
One that we have created.
Created.
And scientists have proposed ideas of being able to, create a wormhole. And basically, if you look at string theory, these portals, we'll call them, such the cosmic holes creating during the billionth trillionth of the second at the start, the only reason they were held together was because of a proposed cosmic string that went through them. And now that still is the only thing keeping them open, because if
gravity always pulls them together.
Yeah, let's say there was no cosmic string, these they would crumble into a black hole.
Yeah.
And they would be no longer be able to use them because they wouldn't be there.
Now, if we were to create one,
ask the problem. Where do we find a cosmic string to hold this thing open?
Well, our cosmic string is negative energy density. Otherwise, some people have called it exotic matter.
So now let's just, before we get into how we would open a black hole.
Let's just talk about
matter.
Exotic matter.
And how matter is formed.
You would think that, I really feel like we should have the next half to do this, but I'm going to try and fit this in. We have matter and antimatter. Now, these are two sides of the same coin. When you put them together, they annihilate to form energy, E equals mc squared. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared.
Thank you, Einstein.
You're welcome.
Very cool. But now, where do you find this exotic matter? If we already know matter and antimatter, what is this exotic matter?
Well, first, I just want
to... Oh, yeah, before we get there, we got to talk about how. Yeah, how?
How?
Where does this all come from?
So, matter... Okay, so, you first, someone would make an assumption that our universe should be only energy, because they would have been equal energy, like, antiparticles and particles. But I think Stephen Hawking explains this, but, I just didn't remember it. But basically, there's something to do with the intense heat and the gravity at the beginning of the universe that somehow turned some of the antiparticles into particles, leaving a pair becoming two of the same.
Yeah, and now these two of the same...
combine together to become actual matter, larger pieces of matter instead of annihilating each other.
Yeah, because in quantum mechanics, or in not even... Yeah, in
quantum mechanics.
All these... all the time, there are antiparticles and matter particles.
Popping in and out of existence. Yeah.
And whenever they pop into existence, they find each other, annihilate each other, and do it again.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily
the
same ones. And
Hawking radiation works on the fact that sometimes the positive or negative will escape the black hole and the other one will be stuck in
radiation.
Exactly. Yeah. But basically, so that's how we have...
That's how we have matter. Because somehow, at the beginning of the universe, a bunch of heat turned all these antimatter particles back over to the good side, to the matter particles.
You know, we could be antimatter. For all we know, we could be the true antimatter.
We could.
That's true. We just prefer to call ourselves
matter. We like being special.
Exactly.
Calling ourselves matter.
We matter.
We matter.
We're made out of matter.
Yeah, it sounds better that way.
And
so, yeah, that's really how matter was formed.
But anyway, so this negative energy density or...
Exotic matter.
Both are basically the same. So... we want to create mass that basically has a repulsive, an anti-gravity kind of feeling.
Yeah, and now matter and antimatter, both, yet trying to annihilate each other, both do have a positive mass.
Yes.
They're both
gravity.
Weigh something.
They both have gravity, because if you saw an anti-gravity galaxy, it would work exactly the same as ours would.
Yeah.
But...
we just wouldn't see it.
But a negative energy density... So our regular energy density is all positive stuff, but if you somehow manage to take out energy density and lower the energy density far lower between the regular positive, then you end up with a negative. And this is basically repulsive energy, and obviously energy is matter, so this is how you get the
exotic
negative
matter.
Yeah. Not antimatter, but negative matter that is repulsive.
Yeah.
And we could use this to possibly hold open...
the wormhole.
Our own wormholes.
And now this exotic matter has been presumed to have... well, of course, it repels gravity. It acts as... it would push things away, which is what we want, to hold open a black hole.
So how would we get in if it was holding it open?
I mean, gravity is everywhere. We can walk through gravity. Can we not?
Yes, just depend. It has to be extremely strong, though, to prevent the black hole from forming.
Yeah, it'd be a tough challenge. Don't get me wrong. It'd be a real struggle trying to really prop that that wormhole open. But for the sake of the argument, we'll say it's pretty easy right now, and we can just walk through.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the only problem we're gonna end up with, I hope we succeed.
Yeah, and so it would this exotic matter that has the negative mass, it would push things away and repel gravity, which holds open the wormhole. And if you're questioning its strength, if you were to put one of these exotic matter particles into the center of a neutron star, one of the most dense objects in the universe, it would tear it open.
It would repulse it completely.
It would destroy the entire thing.
Yeah.
Because it would break it.
Neutron is one of the most dense things, very close to a black hole, so this would hypothetically work.
Yeah.
Now...
then again, need to find some exotic matter.
Yeah, so now when we make our man-made portals, for a lack of a better word, wormholes, we will have to... they'll be right next to each other, and we'll have to pull them apart. But this would allow us to eventually set up a huge network.
Of just wormholes. If they're possible, and we were able to find an abundance of exotic matter, that'd be great. That's just a bunch of wormholes.
So, yeah, so I think we're going to end part one here. We'll be right back. I hope you learned a little bit something about wormholes.
Yeah.
And,
We'll be right back after this short break talking about paradoxes and how time travel may work or how it may just be impossible.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back.
Thank you for sticking with us after that short break.
Thank you. You made us money, and as I said before, I love that money. But we've made so much money. I'm kidding.
We're kidding, guys. We're kidding. We don't do it for
the money. We haven't even made enough to buy a chocolate bar.
Yeah. But that's okay. We like talking about what we like talking about, and that's what we're here for.
I think it's fantastic, because I have a record of what's happened in my past.
Yeah.
I'll be able, a few years later, to look back at
the past. Yeah,
but really, time is always existing. If time travel were to exist, that means that, that the past is always happening. Same with the future. Everything is happening at once. You've always lived. You've always died. You've always been born.
Fun topic.
Always been making your toast, as I've been saying.
Fun topic.
So let's imagine that time travel... Should I say why time travel is completely incorrect first?
I think we'll go over the paradoxes first, or at least the paradoxes that prove that it can be incorrect.
So first, I just want to say that it's the most highly possible version of time travel existing is not through wormholes, because as I've been kind of figuring out, wormholes is not really time traveling back. You really only have a way to travel forward. You can travel... Like, especially traveling at the speed of light, a second for you will feel
like
longer. A second, but for everyone else it will take a lot of time. Therefore, you've just traveled into the future, causing very little of your time, but a lot of everyone else's. But there would be no way to get back. And this could explain why we haven't seen anyone time traveling. No one has ever come back to us.
Because you can't.
You can only go forward.
Oh, well, that's something to think about there. Wow.
But let's imagine for the... For the sake of the argument, that time travel does exist. Well, there's three main paradoxes that I would like to talk about that really just say, how the hell would this actually be possible?
And just before you get there, I just want to talk about how we technically do have a sort of time machine ourselves. We have phones. You can take a photo. You have a 2D time machine right there. If you look at the photo, that's based, technically speaking, going back in time to view something that happened in the past.
But you can't change it.
You can't change it. You can't go there.
And the fact that you can't change it brings me up to my first paradox, which is the predestination paradox.
And now why don't you give our dear listeners...
That just works so well. Like, we didn't plan that.
Yeah, but it was pretty good.
That worked well.
Why don't you give the dear listeners a quick just overlay of the predestination paradox.
I'm going to get insane. Okay, JFK has just been murdered. You want to go back in time to prevent this from happening.
I don't know what the year, but... Oh, no, JFK's been shot.
Well, you need to go back. Just found out today in 2020, and I want to go fix that. Yeah, so, I travel back in time.
I like JFK. I want him to be here.
Never knew him personally, but,
Yeah, fair enough. So Max takes his time machine.
So, I'm going back in time. And I see him, and, he's about to get shot or whatever.
He's in the car, and you go up to the guy's apartment building.
And I knock him out.
There you go.
Now he can't shoot.
Yeah, the guy, you've stopped him from taking the shot, blowing his guts out.
But suddenly...
You've saved JFK!
The car explodes. Now JFK's dead.
And now you ask yourself, how did that happen? That's not what history said.
So I go back in time and I reset. And
you do it again.
This time, I check the car and find there's a bomb in there or whatever.
And you take the bomb out.
I take the bomb out. I take care of the sniper.
Now, and you're like, oh, I've saved a day. How is he going to die now?
And this time...
He gets hit by a plane, crashes down, and blows him up.
Exactly.
How did this happen?
The same thing, this will relate to another paradox in a bit, but imagine Zach, you're going to slip on...
A banana peel,
okay?
All right, I'm just walking down the street, you know how I am. And then I'm kind of clumsy.
I go back in time and text you, now that I know, watch out for the banana peel. You're reading it, and you're like, oh, good, thanks for warning me. You slipped because you were looking at your phone. But now I go back in time, and I say I won't text him. I'll go talk to him. So I appear in front of you and say, Zach, don't slip on the banana peel. But it's too late, you've already slipped. Or...
You go back in time, and you take the banana peel out of my way.
But guess what?
A new banana peel has arrived.
Well, I was going to say, someone just dropped a... Like something else slippery, or maybe even just cardboard that just doesn't have a lot of friction, and you've just slipped up again. No matter what happens, is the point of this paradox. It's always determined.
The
predestination means that the destination is always confirmed.
The past cannot be altered, is what you're trying to say.
Yes, exactly.
No matter how hard you try,
JFK will always be dead. Damn it.
No matter how hard we try, I will always end up slipping on something and hurting my back as I fall on the sidewalk.
Yep.
And yeah, it just, because if you were to alter the past, then everything, like, you would come back in a completely different universe.
There's a fantastic, hilarious Simpsons episode where Homer, his toaster is basically a wormhole that allows him to travel to back in time.
Oh, lucky
and every
Homer.
Time he goes back,
did he go to the burger shop?
No.
Oh, that would have been a good episode.
Yeah, no, but he steps on a bug, for example, one time, comes back, everyone is bugs. And this brings me to talk about the butterfly effect. Now, every time Homer goes back, he changes one small thing.
First time, he takes a cookie from the cookie jar. Next time, he takes two cookies from the cookie jar.
But when he comes back, there's a huge difference for that small thing that he did. This is the butterfly effect. It's named after a seminar hosted, I can't remember the name, but basically, can the flap of a butterfly wing in Brazil cause a hurricane in Florida? Basically, I can't remember the exact name, but the whole thing
is... The domino effect.
Can a small little thing cause a huge event? Yes, it can.
Just look at this. Some Austrian guy getting shot in 1912, World War I.
And the same thing with chaos theory, which is the thing that branched out of this, is with an intricate system, one small change can cause a lot of things. Like, if you're calculating a planet's orbit, and you just throw in a small moon around Jupiter, well, imagine you've actually just, you know, you could have caused a complete, you run the simulations again, and you find out the Earth has flamed up and died 10,000 years ago.
Why? How?
Chaos theory. This is the thing that would happen with time travel. If time travel existed in a state where when you went back in time, there was no predestination, you could alter it, you would end up coming back to a reality that is completely different.
It would be, depending on how far back you go, say I go back like yesterday, I mean, sure, from a day, it wouldn't have changed as much, but
let's say you go back to the Neanderthals, you give one of them a gun.
Yeah, what if I go back to the the First Nations people, and I arm them up, I give them tanks and bombs.
Or what if you just vaccinate them? Mate, you just vaccinate them.
Even then, yeah, give them some vaccines.
They would have killed them.
Yeah, they would have won the war. Or at least, I think so.
But, like, that's a big event, actually. But imagine you just, I don't know, killed one man in Ireland, and...
The whole Irish potato famine didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly, because he didn't bring the blights over or whatever. Or imagine you kill... Imagine that the whole North Ireland and Ireland thing didn't exist.
It was just Ireland.
But then you killed someone, and that just started a complete war.
Yeah.
Because that person was suspected of being killed by all these people, and you just killed him because he attacked you in an alley. You thought it was a small thing. You thought it wouldn't cause an entire nation to be split apart, but it did.
But it did.
This is why the predestination paradox is not... It's a paradox, but it's a paradox that would make the most logical sense for an actual time travel. No matter what you do, history has happened.
History has happened, and it cannot be altered. And that's just... I mean, that's good. That means you can't... What has happened now will not be changed. If someone does go back in time, my reality will not be changed because the past is the way that it is.
Like, if you went back in time, no matter what you did, you could do a small thing and perhaps that wouldn't exist. And you'd be the co-host. I mean, you'd be the host. Oh, no.
Yeah. It'd be called To the Zach instead of To the Max.
Just doesn't have that ring.
Doesn't have that ring to it. But yeah. I think that's our first paradox that kind of displays the whole time travel thing. I mean, it's still possible.
I think I like that.
You'd basically be going back in spectator mode.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's still time traveling. You'd be going back in a 3D time machine. You'd be able to watch it while being there, but you just wouldn't be able to interact.
It's a lot like what we have today with phones and cameras. And in fact, I know there was this guy who recorded everything with like a couple GoPros around his head, and he was able for a whole year he recorded, and now he can go back to any moment in that entire year.
Well, that is really cool.
That is basically time travel.
That's time traveling in a sense.
And
it's just you aren't there physically.
And I've talked about this before. I think since the moment we've been able to write down things, we've been able to have a form of time travel. Because you can now exist farther than just verbal memory. You can exist in written memory for far longer.
Yeah, look at Isaac Newton. He's been remembered for the past 300 years. Look at Christopher Columbus. He's been remembered for like 500 years. Look at, what's his name? Genghis Khan. He's been remembered for like 1,000 years. If you think about it that way, like it is a form of time travel.
Never going to be forgotten.
Exactly. There's so many people, so many famous people.
And especially with now technology being able to record us, well, you know, you're going to be able to remember these events in far sharper.
Yeah, we're slowly beginning to develop a way of, at least a small way of being able to time travel, but not physically being there, but having a little way, which is, I think it's really cool, and I think people definitely undermine that fact.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do have a little way of time travel.
Anyways, let's pop into the second paradox.
All right, yeah. Now, what is this second
paradox? Which is the bootstrap paradox. And this is one of my favorite ones, because I can reference to one of my favorite movies, Back to the Future.
Fair enough.
Okay, so Marty McFly, he is listening to a song back in his original timeline, right?
In his world, in the real, he hasn't gone to the future. He hasn't gone to the past. He's chilling at his house in the regular time, listening to his song.
Now he goes back in time, and he plays that song. And the original artist hears the song.
So now, what do you think would happen?
Original artist goes forward in time, and plays that song. And Marty only hears that song because he played that song, and that guy only heard the song from him, and he only... You see what I'm trying to say? It's an endless loop. It's an object or information that can only exist in that endless loop. Same thing as, Zach, you've gone back in time to help, to see Neutron. Newton. And, you know, he's trying to figure out gravity, and you say, oh, you know, just...
I go to the top of his tree, and I cut an apple off.
No, you say, hey, I can help you that mass is equal to force times acceleration. And he says, wow, thank you. But you only know that because he told you.
When I was in the future.
But he only knows that because you told him.
But then how do I know it? Because he told me. But then how does he know it? Because I told him.
And another thing, and I can't remember the movie or book, but it is a love story that takes place in time. So basically, this old lady gives this guy a locket and says, come visit me in the past, basically, right?
A locket?
Yes, a locket, you know, like one of those little things that you put a picture of someone inside.
Oh, a picture frame.
No, like it's like a little, sort of like a medallion.
Like something you wear as like a memory.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then you open it. And basically, this guy goes through this research and suddenly finds out, man, this lady's from the past. She actually is. Like, in the picture, perhaps, or it's like a picture. I haven't actually watched the movie, but I've heard about this. And then, basically, he tries to go back in time, and he does. It works. He goes back in time.
Hurrah.
And they have a love affair, whatever. And it'd be even weird if he was their son or something.
Yeah, that'd be bad. But we don't talk about that.
That's not what I want to think about.
That's not the point of this paradox. So what comes next?
So anyways, he gives her the locket at the end, and he says, give this to me in the future. And basically, he only gave her the locket because she gave him the locket, but she only got the locket from him. That locket has never existed, except it always will exist.
Where did it come from? Because where did it come from?
Well, it came from him. But where did it come from? Well, it came from her, and she got it from him. See? It will always exist. It will always exist.
This is an endless loop.
This is the thing. And this makes me...
It's crazy to think about, really. It just... Well, I mean, it's also a good thing that we haven't, or at least to our knowledge, have not invented time travel, because it creates these endless loops and these paradoxes.
Well, now let me talk about an endless loop. I want you to imagine a straight line, and on one end is point B, which is the end on the left, and on one end is point A.
On the right.
Now imagine you're born at point A.
Right, sounds nice.
And you reached... And you reached, like, whatever age, let's say just 10, because it's a nice number. So you're born 10 years before point A. Now you reach point A, and you travel back in time to point B, where you do whatever happens.
Okay.
And then you travel forward back to point A. Now...
So where did you begin?
Well, here's what I want to say. If you've done that, well, now your timeline that you visited, the previous timeline, you don't exist yet. So as soon as that timeline happens... Well, the next version of you is going to reach forward. They're going to get to age 10, jump back to then. Then they're going to go back to another timeline where...
an infinite of just cycle of you at age 10.
The same thing with the fact that if we do live in a simulation, or that simulations are correct or possible, why it's very improbable that we are the original. Well, it's the same thing with this. It's very improbable that you're the original you that is going back in time. Because if there is an endless loop, then that means that you...
I'm part of the loop.
You're part of the loop. That is the most probable chance.
I mean, that'd be pretty cool if I was...
you're always happening.
The original, the OG time traveler.
But you'd never be able to know.
You wouldn't know. Unless you somehow figured out a way to
travel forward in time to meet your older self, and they could tell you... No, there'd be no way, really.
Yeah, would you know if there is someone waiting for you to do that?
And if you... even if you figured it out, no matter what you did... Well,
the loop would continue.
The loop would continue.
Because the person before you would just do what you do.
Let's say you realize it, but that means that probably everyone realized it at a certain point.
Yeah, until they come up to what time you're at, they would realize it themselves.
Yeah.
Your looper. The loop of you.
There really is no way. And one more thing before we get into the third paradox is the theory that time, despite being relative, is constant at a certain time. Like, imagine you go back in time for 10 days. Now, when you come back to your exact timeline, you'll be 10 days ahead. So you missed 10 days back in time.
You gained 10 days.
Time is the same. Like, if you're in the same relative time, like on Earth, which has the same relative time.
Correct.
You'll go back for 10 days, and 10 days will pass in the real world by the time you're back.
Wow, so it all evens out. How nice.
Yes, but it's just a theory.
Of course, we can't prove anything. But yeah.
So the final paradox is one of the most interesting.
The interesting one.
Zach, I've gone back in time and killed my grandfather.
No, why have you done that?
Don't worry, Zach. I can't actually do it. It's the grandfather paradox, and there's no way you could kill your grandfather, or yourself for that matter.
Or your dad, or your mom, or your great-great-grandfather. You just couldn't.
And this is the one I was talking about. Conjoins. Oh my god, I need to go to grammar school. This kind of works with the predestination paradox. Because, think about it. All events are determined. You cannot kill your father, because if you killed your father, you wouldn't exist and you would not be able to kill him. So that means all events will happen no matter what. You will not be able to kill your father, because he's always been alive and always will be alive. And if you kill him, then you will never be alive and you won't exist to kill him. So therefore... Yeah.
You can't kill him, because you wouldn't be alive to kill him if you killed him. A lot of killing here, there.
Exactly.
A lot of killing going on, but...
And the same thing with if I tried to kill myself. Well, if I killed myself...
I wouldn't be there to kill myself.
Exactly.
So would you really kill yourself? If I had the knife and I stabbed myself, what would happen?
Somehow I'd be able to... Well, you just violate everything. You wouldn't be able to die. Maybe you just wouldn't die, because you'd end up the exact same. Now, what if I killed a future version of myself? Well, that isn't determined, so yes, you could probably kill a future version of yourself.
A future, but not a past.
Exactly.
And that is one of the problems of time traveling.
Because the past is probably...
The past is always constant, but the future is not.
Exactly. The future... But, again, going back to those beings that perhaps live in a higher dimension, everything is happening. So, JFK has always been alive, he's always been killed, he's always been dead...
They see it all.
But the same thing with the Patriots winning the Super Bowl in the future.
Seahawks should have run the ball.
But it's always been happening. They've always won. No matter if it's in the future or not, they've always won in the future, because it's just something that's always happening. Imagine the timeline is solid no matter what. This is the predestination paradox at its finest. Everything is always happening.
Everything's always happening every time, everywhere.
And no matter what you do, you can't change the actual outcome.
From the past.
But it could be the same for the future if the predestination paradox works for everything.
But we can't really...
There's no way to prove either of these, Zach.
I mean, time travel has to exist to even have a fair chance to prove all three of these paradoxes.
There's one more possibility that could prevent the predestination paradox from taking place.
All right, why don't you go ahead and share this to our dear listeners.
Now, this is the most improbable, best science fiction one ever, but... It is the fact that time could fork. You could create an alternate reality. Where you killed your grandfather, you will not exist. It is a reality where you were never born.
But you're still here.
Your reality exists. So every time you go back in time, it's not your own time. It's a different time. And reference this. Avengers
Endgame.
They go back in time, but it's not their own time. is a different time. And when I first heard this, I thought, that sounds stupid.
Yeah.
But the more I think about it, the more I like it. The more I like this. So this way, you don't need a predestination. You're just affecting... So your thing has always happened, but you can affect others. It's not yours, but you can go back and time travel to others. And it's not really...
You could never really return, because you wouldn't be here.
Well, the thing is, you could...
If you killed yourself.
If you killed yourself. So basically, I kill myself in a different dimension.
For some reason.
And I don't exist in that dimension anymore. But I still exist in mine.
But that would mean there's been a whole new dimension.
That's been formed. That one that I was killed in.
Yeah. And it just... Well, I mean... That's a lot of stuff to generate right
That's
there.
That's the same thing as if I go back in time. It's more like going back to a different dimension and time than rather just a dimension. Or perhaps you're going back to... And this would work with time being constant. Imagine you're just going back to a different dimension where the time lines up differently. Like I go back a year, but their year is happening right now. And I spend a day there. It's a day here, but their day just lines... Their years are just...
There's a lot to go through, especially with all these different dimensions and universe and alternate universes being created. There's a lot to talk of. There's a lot to think of, and it just
basically
opens up
a
lot of portals.
I feel like the splitting one could actually make a lot of sense if you wanted to make time travel real, because if it was real, you'd probably go back to a different one, and that would explain why we've never seen one in our dimension, because they always go back to a different dimension. Brilliant. And basically, those dimensions don't exist before they go back in time, is what I'm thinking.
They don't exist until someone has opened them.
Exactly. And, jeez. Oh.
This gives you something to think about.
I'm going to go cry in the room, because knowing I'm always going to die.
Yeah. And just before we go, he's really crying. He's moved all the way, he's ran all the way to the corner. So yeah, I would just say, right at the, to end it off, that I really don't think, at least in our lifetime, that we will really discover anything that would be, that I would actually be able to go back in time, and as we said before, view stuff in spectator mode. I don't think that we'll ever, at least in the near future, ever accomplish something like that. I'm sure Max crying over there says would probably think the same thing. But yeah, I think that would be it. Oh, he's came back. How
was
your
back. But I was
back.
Always sitting in this chair, Zach.
Because time is constant.
God. I've just blown my brain. I hope I blew yours.
Yeah.
So with that being said, guys...
Thank you for listening.
I hope you enjoyed. You've always been listening if you're listening.
And so, you've always been listening if you haven't been listening.
And you can't
you've
go,
been listening.
And you can't go back in time and prevent yourself from listening.
Because you've been listening.
Exactly. So have a safe and fantastic rest of your day, everyone.
Hope this gave you guys something to think about.
Yeah, and catch you guys another episode, whether it be in your past or future.